100 Word Stories. Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. Today, well, it's not Sunday. I kind of was busy on Sunday, and then Monday and Tuesday. But anyway, instead of the usual daily stories from me, it's your turn. I call this the weekly challenge, where I post the topic, and you come up with the stories. And I'm sorry this thing is late, but I was kind of busy. But still, we've got lots and lots of stories for you to enjoy, and you've been very patient in waiting for them. Here they are. Whee! Oh, by the way, the topic is Cube. So let's hear a bunch of 100-word stories on the topic, and be sure to, you know, watch her arm, okay? Be careful. All right. The first stories are going to be by Thomas, up there in Squim. It's the way the place is. It's spelled like it sounds. So here we go with Thomas.
They lived in a white multi-windowed cube designed by third-year students of architecture at Technische Hochschule in Darmstadt, Germany, and manufactured of resined paper. The two-story, two-bedroom home was not only roomy and comfortable in all weather, but it was portable. Made in 10 sections, the house and utility hookups could be loaded onto a flatbed truck and transported easily to a building site. All of the living room's inside walls were left unpainted and covered with clear sealant. The German, Dutch, and Danish newspapers and soft porn magazine covers provided entertainment for visitors and residents alike. The sugar cube was supposedly doctored with LSD. Sold to us for $10 in the Greenwich Village coffee house, I and my Coast Guard mates were sold plain sugar cubes taken from the table next over by a bearded hippie. During the summer of 67, we had gone to New York to seek adventures in the Big Apple. After dissolving the cube and waiting for 45 minutes, we realized we had been duped by the sly fellow and concluded that our fresh pink faces and uniforms gave us away, distinguishing us as rubes from the basin, Cape May. Margaret Cho is as funny as a cube of compacted horse dookie. She's loud, popular with the gay crowd, and has found an audience that appreciates her vulgar humor and imitations of her Korean mother. She is more annoying than stepping barefoot in a fresh load of dog poop. There are a lot of more clever, intelligent, creative comedians than Cho. Funny women are an aphrodisiac, I confess. My old friend Sharon, a nurse on Amtrak in the 60s, made me laugh so hard I fell to the floor, held my aching sides, and I recall I whittled it a little. The Cubists were known for their unique approach to painting and design. Alfonso de Rigueur, a little-known French painter, took his art far beyond the realm of two-dimensional surface painting. De Rigueur developed expressive and elusive abstractions dedicated to complex sexual and autoerotic themes, often constructed of chunks of lean beef, pork, all originating as Uncle Kenny's farm. His objects were broken into component planes and geometric solids, cubes, spheres, and cones. The sculpture became a pervasive influence and contributed fundamentally to the early adoption of backyard barbecues, tubes of liverwurst, and an array of Oscar Mayer lunch meats. Long overdue. Kudos and many thanks to the chipper and enthusiastic contributor, Tom, for crunching the numbers and keeping the contributions up to date. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Thomas. Whew, man, now should I do a whole bunch of babble this week, or should I just, you know, rock it through this and get it out to y'all so that, you know, you've been waiting all week. And my God, you people are just, whew, you are so patient. Oh, man. I mean, I would have flipped out maybe on Tuesday or Wednesday and just stormed the hospital door with torches and I would have to choose between a torch or a pitchfork because, you know, I can only hold one unless I hold I'm going to hold a torch in my mouth. I'm not going to hold a pitchfork in my mouth. That's just stupid. So, next up we have, Jeffrey. So, here's Jeffrey's story.
Hello, this is Jeffrey Fisher and I'm back for weekly challenge number 335. This story is called The Cube by Jeffrey Fisher. I concentrated, and my world shrank around me. In my mind, I could see the universe contract. Galaxies collapsed. Solar systems merged. Planets melded. The Earth shriveled until I was a singularity. No noise. No distractions. No people. Bliss. Heaven was shattered by a bleeding sound to my left. The universe expanded again, leaving me in a cacophony of phone conversations, small talk, sports radio, and several different kinds of music. The final straw came when Dwayne popped his head over the cubicle wall. "Hey man, you want to get a cup of coffee?" The smell of his everything bagel was still rich on his breath. I sighed. "Sure, it's not as though I'm getting anything done here."
Thank you, Jeffrey. I'm not drinking any Baileys and coffee today. Drinking milk for strong bones. Yeah, right. The horse is not just out of the barn door. The horse is off to the track, gambling on racing fat people. Whew, yeah. All right, let's keep going here while I'm still conscious. Is it time for my pill yet? Okay. Next up, we have Steven the Nuclear Man. Hey, dude, I ran into a bunch of folks in radiology. Oh, that was fun. Okay, position this here. Position that there. Oh, yeah. Have you gotten any painkillers yet? Oh, well, tell them, you know, when you... So here's Steven.
Ms. Anderson's voice grated.
Are you enjoying Trunk or Treat, Billy? You make such a cute angel.
She handed him several cubes of low-fat, low-sugar, low-taste caramel. Billy scowled. I wanted to be a werewolf. Billy's mother blanched.
Billy, is that any way to be on Beggar's Night?
Billy shook off the costume's wings and walked away. It's Halloween, he muttered, low enough that neither woman heard him. In the brilliance of the headlights, the congregation planned their defense against the war on Christmas. Billy looked past the lights, past the suburbs, to the moon beginning to rise. Billy began to howl.
See how the music adds something to that? Gives it atmosphere? Gives it spookiness? Say that with me. Spookiness? Ooh, are we going to have a Halloween episode this year? I guess I should check. And nope, Halloween is on a Wednesday. So the clock tree thing, assuming that I'm not in the hospital, is going to be a Halloween thing. And then, ooh, the one then is going to be a... Yeah. All right, well, we'll try to avoid that week. Ah, man, I feel like I'm 63. So, thank you, Stephen the Nuclear Man. And now we've got Tom, and he has updates.
Hello, Night People. Tom here. And I got updates. First, an unusual pattern has developed. Three sets of three authors has formed in the following order. Zachman, T.J. Stephen in the 5th, 6th, and 7th. Chris Beauchamp's Torah in the 16th, 17th, and 18th. And Lizzie, Red Goddess, and Cliff in the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Movement Jeffrey is one story shy of entering the top 60, just one behind Beck. Guard 13007 is tied with Mike S., Craig, Tom with a 4, and K9, one story shy of joining the Monkees. Red Goddess and Cliff pass Almo Schumann, and in a move of infinite grace, Lizzie passes Red Goddess to occupy the 22nd place with 35 stories, one story shy of passing our friend Houston Keys. But the prime story this week is Tura Bregiano, who enters the lair of the Golden Monkees, passing Andrew E. and Dodge. And tonight's story is called Hexohedonarian. The cube was vast and sublime, smooth despite its age. It must have a purpose, said Frank. Nope, returned Rudy. Just look at it. It's the biggest damn thing in the whole valley. So, no one just builds a giant old cube in the middle of nothing for no reason. Okay, religious artifact. You don't believe that. Au contraire, it divides the universe into six active and passive parts. What? Oh, holy quadrilateral ferrusum, giver of light, food, and water, protect us from the darkness, hunger, and drought. It's a regular hexahedron. Whatever. Rudy, what does Jack in the Box mean? Beats me.
You know what Jack in the Box means? Severe gastrointestinal distress. Thank you, Tom. Always there with a helping hand and a calculator and a spreadsheet watching our every moves. At some point, he's going to start tracking our weight, tracking our diet, getting us all healthy and fit. I know I could stand to lose a few pounds. I'll start with the sling and the cast. Whew. Okay, next up we have Muncie. God, I don't know how you survived a week and a half waiting for Muncie's story. This is a good one. So, Muncie, go ahead and lay it on us.
Greetings, widely varied podcast listeners. Muncie here, or a recording of his voice if you want to get weirdly technical about it, with a story for you. Are you ready? Count it down with me. 3, 2, 1. How to Build a Perfect Cube by Christopher Monroe. The corners must be 90 degrees. Exactly 90. 89 or 91 won't do. It's important that the angles are correct, lest it isn't a cube. The sides, similarly, must be equal length, though what length is up to you. It's consistency we need here, not specific measurement. And lastly, it must exist. A cube that exists is by definition more perfect than one that doesn't. Also, it should be all-knowing, all-powerful, and the creator of the universe. These things also increase its perfection. And there you have it! The perfect cube. Now, to find a use for such a thing. Flashfiction at ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com. Tweets at MunzyMunzy if you wanna. Also, why not howl my name at the next full moon? It likely won't do anything in particular, but it couldn't hurt.
Ooh, I know what I could use it for. Just as long as it fits within my bicycle shopping basket. And, you know, I'll just hold on to it while biking. Thank you, Muncie. Next up, we have Kimmy. That's Kimmy, not Kimmy. I wonder if this one worked. I haven't tested it yet.
Perspiration beaded his forehead, and his feet melded with the parquet floor. He couldn't believe his eyes as the coffee cup in front of him started to sing and spin, splashing hot drops of dark roast all over the counter. He had been so careful with the powerful hallucinogen each time. How could this happen? The barista served her last customer his coffee with a cube of special sugar, then turned off the open sign and locked the door. She shook her brown hair free of the wig. Remember me? He tried to wish himself dead as he remembered her.
Thank you, Kimmy. It's good to hear your voice. It's good to hear anybody's voice. When I was in the ER, there were no bars at all on the phone. For 5 hours, the power was running out. I'm stuck with all these people telling me, and the business office was like, your card's no good. Well, I need to renew the Cobra. And they're like going to send me to Ben Taub, and it's like, oh, no. So, now this isn't going to become a medical podcast. We're going to keep going here. So, thank you, Kimmy. And next up, we have Serendipity Haven.
Somewhere out there, there's an alternative universe where spheres simply don't exist. Take the third wormhole on the right for a few million light years. In the Cubiverse, starship stars shine upon six-sided planets as they describe their awkward trapezoid orbits through space. Negotiating the corners can be a bit tricky at times. And there, in the Goldilocks zone, is an improbable blue planet, inhabited by a race that has never known the circle. Cars lurch on square wheels. Footcube is a favorite sport, and Excel never complains about circular arguments. Please don't fall off the edge, though.
Thank you, Serendipity. You know, the midget and the robot voice that I use could have filled in for me to get this posted early, but they were on vacation. They were off with my wife, who didn't answer her phone the day I got hurt because she was on an airplane to Florida and didn't turn it back on after the plane landed, and her sister didn't have any power on her phone. And well, my mother-in-law is getting up there in the years, and she's good health for now, but you know, who knows what might happen in an emergency. She might need to call, and well, I relied on her from Monday to Wednesday, so that shows how much of a schmuck I am. All right, let me just adjust the microphone here. I'm sorry, I have to adjust it mid-speech, but, you know, it's a little hard doing everything with one hand while hanging paper, too. So let's go ahead and, how about you cut off my leg and let's have an ass-kicking contest? Okay, I'm ready for it, Jeff Hema, who didn't record their story, so that's right, you're about to hear me again. I Miss My Mother by Jeff Hema. Since being married, I feel like my personal space is shrinking. Whenever I try to check on my friends on Facebook, she keeps breathing down my neck. Sometimes we fight because, according to her, if I reduce the window, then I'm doing something suspicious. I remember once she got on my case when she checked my mailbox and found a spam mail about dating. Of course, I had nothing to do with that, but that was enough to call our relationship into question. Now we're deprived of the internet, and I don't know for how long it's going to last. Thank you, Dexter. Whew. Man, it's amazing how easy it is to read stuff when you really don't feel like going through two or three or five takes. Let's keep going here. Zach Mann has been waiting patiently in there in the corner. Oh, do you want to go out? No? Oh, you want to read this story? Yeah, because it's raining out right now. So, okay, here's Zach Mann.
If only I knew that Rubik's Cubes would be popular again, I would have bought a couple at a dollar store a few years ago, said Zach. I thought they were popular when you were a kid, said Drew. And how would you know? The same way I know everything about your childhood. Your grandmother told you? No, Dad. Someone made a cartoon about it, and I read it on TV Tropes. What happened to the one you had as a kid, and did you solve it? Oh, yes, son. I solved mine with the aid of a sledgehammer.
Thank you, Zach, man. I feel like I'm there. Am I? I'm not sure. Okay, and as we pull Cliffs from the mailbox and drag him into last week, I'm just going to get the audio files together and get that posted, and then post the text of the stories while listening to Sing Albatross do the Ghost from a Bumboat. So I hope you don't mind if I'm multi-failing. All right, so here's Cliff, Uncle Monster, your story. Enjoy.
Dim Bones by Clifford Lowe. I tossed the dice across the table. The tiny white cubes danced and fell to reveal garbage. Death chuckled and scooped up the dice. Time to roll the bones. That was his favorite joke. It was starting to get on my nerves. Still, he was Death. He could get away with dark humor. He rolled. Yahtzee! We groaned. Death had won again. I started cleaning up the empty bottles. Death gathered his scythe and started towards the door. Scrabble on Thursday? You have an appointment with Death. He's a nice guy, but his humor gets a little old after a while.
Thank you, Cliff. That was exciting. Woo, man. I'm getting all sweaty and stuff. Oh, wait, that's from, you know, having half of my body wrapped in a sling and covered with canvas. And yeah. So, all right, I'll quit trying to beg for sympathy. Instead, I'll beg for, well, my wife's asleep right now. I'll probably wake her up. So here's Tura. Speaking of waking someone up, let's wake up Tura. Tura, tell us a story.
Behold, the people's palace. A perfect cube, the perfect symbol for our perfect country. The great banqueting hall within, a perfect cube, and each of the council rooms. I was the architect. The old ways are proscribed, but I studied them secretly. Anyone in the old days could tell you that a cube is the worst possible shape for a building. The feng shui remains directionless, stagnant. It festers. Our benevolent leaders lost about 3 years living in it, and every minister hates those meeting rooms. And I know exactly where to set explosives to bring the whole thing down.
Thank you, Tura. Man, I wish I had listened to that before I'd gone out. Ooh, whoa. Would have been more careful. Let's see, next up, people are calling me the hardest working person in podcasting with doing all these stories and writing despite having one useless limb. We're okay, maybe two, but the pills are on their way. But here's Lizzie Goodcough, who works even harder writing stories for you and your entertainment and enlightenment.
It's sad not to fit in. It creates stress and loneliness. It shakes beliefs and disrupts inner balance. He didn't fit in. He tried to, for a long time. He tried a hat, wearing green, putting on makeup. Everyone mocked him. He tried black and blue. He tried peace for all. Everyone mocked him still. He tried the word. He tried a vow of silence. He tried, despite the sneers, the mockery, and the disdain. So he folded himself in four and slid into the transparent cube in the corner of the room. Now he would fit in. Status invisible. Place a cube on top of another, carefully, oh so carefully. Link everything with strings and link it well. Turn it around a few times and upside down just to test it. Does it fall apart? No? Good. It's done. Now, place the giant on the floor. It will take a step, then another. It will walk. And it did. The problem was that the cities of the world were not ready for its massive stepping. And it was even worse when the giant started stomping enthusiastically all over, inspired by a certain group who likes garbage cans and brooms.
Thank you, Lizzie. Whew, man, two of them from her. Maybe she's going to start doing four and then eight, and then she's going to wind up being the titanium monkey. You know, titanium, like the six screws in my elbow. Ugh, I'm going to be having the TSA touching my junk. Aren't you jealous? Thank you, Lizzie. Next up, we have Monday Jinx, who's really taken on a life of his own here. Oh, and he was says, oh, hold on. No, wait, not this recording. No, not that recording. This recording.
Cube hates his job at the psychology lab. His life seems to him to be just one long cycle of others literally attempting to put him into a round hole. For starters, there's his job title, Square Peg. That implies a more rectangular height profile, and he's a cube, 3 inches by 3 inches by 3 inches. That title doesn't pop on the resume of an upwardly mobile cube. Why, he could contribute the stability of his very being to something. He only took this gig for the money. What he really wants to do is direct.
Thank you, Monday. I'm glad you joined up with us. Ah, it's going to be a long, strange trip. Just, can you hold the grocery bags for me? Thank you. Next up, we have the collaboration, the 1-2 punch, although I'm only good for one punch right now, from Bonchance Longfall and Severina Halo Star. Guys, I'm getting a little sweaty here. Hold on. Let me get a... That's right. I've got napkins up on a table, and yet I reach down on the floor for the Kleenex. Stupid.
Crab Mariners, 100 word challenge. This week's challenge word, cube. These works are collaborative rights between Severina Halo Star, Bonchance Longfall. I hope you can come out to our blog at WordPress, NovaVox. Check it out. Cube. Carol said, "Here is your cube, Mr. Dodgson." Charlie was very unhappy with the irregularity of the vertexes and sides. He sat thinking he had hit rock bottom in his career as a mathematician. After further introspection, he pulled out some paper and began writing his first children's story. With his first chapter inked, his decision was final. He handed Mr. Jabberwocky his resignation. Charles Lutwig Dodgson, a.k.a. Lewis Carroll, went on to be quite a prolific author and a pretty good photographer. Moral to the story? If you put a mathematician in a cube, make sure it shapes up. Cube. Pablo was slumped over in his chair. Rescuing Pepe was harder than he thought. He was exhausted. Pablo swerved his paw to make the ice cubes in his gin and tonic tinkle on the side of his crystal tumbler. Yes, off the scotch now. He stared at the cubes dancing and bobbing, transfixing his gaze, mesmerizing him. Memories of a clumsy clown returned. A sudden chill went up his spine, raising all his fluffy black and white fur. He never imagined he would bite a human, even an evil one. The only funny thing about that clown was the taste.
Thanks, guys. I really mean that. Good stuff. So, Bonchance and Sevi, there you go. Those two. You can be hearing from them. Well, you just heard from them. Let's see. Who else? Story by Red Goddess. Okay, hold on. Did she record this one? I don't know which one she recorded. Hold on. Cube WMA. So Red WMA save. All right, let's see if this is a good one. Otherwise, I have to delete and all that. And my God, I'd need a third hand for that.
Oh, hello, Crap Mariner. This is Bro Kelly, and I am honored once again to read Talk with Marie, a.k.a. Red, her 100-word tale in the continuing saga of Lola. This is called Cube, and it gets a little heated up, if you know what I mean. Here we go. Hit it! This summer has been the hottest since Lola started at the hotel. She got in the habit of drinking an iced mocha topped with whipped cream at her old job when stressed. Now her budget allows for iced water. Her mind wanders to him. Their last date was a welcoming surprise, offsetting her madness. Staring at her ice water, Lola daydreams about their shared champagne. What she would like to do with each ice cube. She becomes lost in her fantasy when his gentle voice interrupts her. Penny for your thoughts. She turns and sees him. I'd rather show you. 100 words, Cube, by Lola. Oh, looks like they're going to go at it in the closet. Okay, thank you very much. Take care, Crap. Oh, I have to hit stop on the recorder. Oh, there's a text message. Okay, bye, Crap, bye.
Thank you, Brooke Haley. Thank you for reading that for Red. You did that quite well. I look forward to more from you guys, especially ones that you've written, but you tend to just do 400 characters as opposed to 100 words. But still, that's what you do, man. Next up we have, let's see, who is Flagship? Is that, yeah, okay, that's Norval Joe. So here's Norval Joe's story.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 335 with a prompt of Cube. Owen's quest continues. Fortunately for the company, except Spleen, the majority of the gore from the exploding goblin giant blasted away. Spleen lay within the proximity of the forward blast, covered in greenish-red gore, his right arm extended before him, his hand in a fist. The company inched forward between the larger gobs of gore and stood around the fallen half-goblin. "What have ye in your hand, Spleen?" Flindert asked. Spleen's only movement was to slowly open his fist. On his palm sat a translucent silver cube. Shurika gasped. "The door of the Goblin King! Spleen, you may have saved us all." Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
There once was a woman from Kent, whose doggie got stepped on and bent. The pooch was so teeny, he looked like a weenie, and only saw just where he went.
Ah, that harmonica is music to my ears. Well, of course, because it's a freaking harmonica. Duh. Oh, thank you, Norval Joe. Next up, it's Danny Dwyer, who gave me a little advice on stuff, thank you, man. That note you sent, it just... Man, I know some of the stuff you've been through, and this is nothing. Nothing compared to what you have. And, dude, you are... You are strong like bull. Although you... Yeah. Not that the dog can hear, but still. You can tell him all you want. You know, it's kind of like my wife. Here we go with Danny Dwyer. Is on fire!
Hello, hello! Danny Dwyer here with Weekly Challenge 335 Cube. So let's see where this sad yet demented story takes us. Here we go. Professor Rubik, what's all the hype about this cube you have created? It's a 3D mechanical puzzle, Professor Rubik responded. I felt compelled to point out in my response, in the most uncompromising of terms, what What significance will a 3D mechanical puzzle have on American culture, as well as the rest of the world? Professor Rubik fired back, "My creation is not just mathematical, it's pure sculpture! My purpose was to solve a structural problem, moving the parts of my cube independently without it falling apart. I did not realize I created a puzzle until the first time I scrambled it."
Thank you, Danny. And then, let's see. Yeah, we got one from TJ up there in North Dakota. Ooh, I wonder what's going on up there. Is it winter yet? Is it a frozen wasteland now? Or, man, I could use some of that ice. I could use some of that cold. You know, they say elevation and cold reduce the swelling. But I feel just swell. Okay, here's TJ.
Hi, this is TJ. I am from North Dakota. And this is boxes. This pile of boxes in the living room, it's smaller than it was 2 weeks ago when we moved them all in, but it's still there. I haven't been able to take time off from work to actually get settled in my home, so I've been opening them as I've had time. Some of them belong upstairs, so they get put next to the stairs, and whenever either of us need to go upstairs, which is where they installed the washroom, we take a box with us. It gradualizes organization, but everything does eventually get to where it's going.
Thank you, TJ. Ah, man. Ooh, just... Let me relax here. Get a little more to drink. All right. Ready for the last one? That's right. It's Planet Z. Even he was waiting for me to post this up. Crazy ass. So, hold on to your hats, folks. Here he comes.
The new place where I work provides delicious catered lunches, so I've changed my eating habits from big breakfasts and dinners to large lunches with lighter breakfasts and dinners. Dinner is usually a bag of frozen vegetables and a light sauce of some kind or another. Kroger sells these for a buck. The peas are round and green, the green beans are little green cylinders, and the carrots are perfect tiny orange cubes. Best of all, they're handy as ice packs, great for my broken elbow. So, you think I can write these off as a medical expense?
Okay. Man. Ah, and there you have it. A bunch of really good stories about Cube. And a few good lessons to live your life by. One of which is, don't try to carry grocery bags in your hand while biking home from the grocery store. Thank you to everyone who was a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast, and you can go to the website at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com for links to the authors' websites, the text of the stories, an archive of shows, social network sharing options, and a whole bunch of other stuff you won't bother with anyway. One thing I won't bother with anyway is having my groceries delivered. Man, I need another pill right now. Until next week, which is practically tomorrow, where the topic will be... What will it be? Oh, broken, just like my elbow. This is Lawrence Simon saying thank you for listening and everything, folks. You have been the wind beneath, well, the one wing I have working, which means I'm spiraling madly in the atmosphere. And as always... Keep it brief.